Hello, hello, dear ones. Welcome back to The Embodied Leader. I'm your host, Elise Bessler. And you know what? We're creating an absolutely beautiful community of coaches and folks in leadership and people who are really ready to dive into the inevitable change that I've mentioned so many times on The Embodied Leader that's coming in our industries. It's been coming down the pipe for a really long time. Our clients need it. Right? They need that trauma-informed care, and we also need it. And I love it. And the reason I love it is because I want all of us to be the change that we want so desperately in these industries. So this episode is the final in a batch that I've created for you. And I have to say, I'm loving sharing my work in this way. A couple of months ago, a friend of mine suggested that I kind of expand on all of the short content for YouTube and TikTok and Instagram Reels that I've been creating for the last, well, couple of years, I suppose, and create these extended episodes. So for a podcast and for a YouTube channel. And I thought, you know what? That's a really great idea. And here we are. I love dropping a little bit more information in your orbit than just the 90-second availability in those short form content. So today we're diving into the sometimes uncomfortable but necessary topic of how to claim and hold on to your personal power or your personal authority. And I'm aiming this episode towards the women and further marginalized folks that consume my content. And although I know there are some men that do tune in, and of course, you're obviously still welcome to stick around, guys. But full disclosure, this episode is framed from an intersectional feminist perspective, as well as my usual nervous system literacy and somatic wisdom framings. So I mentioned here before on The Embodied Leader that I think one of the toxic traits of the coaching and leadership industries is that narrative that coaches and folks in leadership are being positioned as being the expert and only the expert to their prospective and current clients and folks that they work with. I named the harm that positioning ourselves this way can create in the coaching industry, and you can check that out in episode number 2 on how to create and become trauma-informed if you'd like a little bit more detail on that. But one of the reasons this expert-only status creates harm to the people we support is that it disempowers them from claiming and owning their own personal power. Right? Because they're always seeking outside of themselves. And if we encourage that, then we're encouraging them to be disempowered. We're encouraging them to not make decisions. And we're also encouraging them to feel more overwhelmed in their nervous system. Essentially, as a leader, that's what we're encouraging. And really, that renders autonomy almost nearly impossible when there's so much of that information coming at them, right? So all of the above that I mentioned pushes the nervous system state into a survival state. And this is for ourselves as well as leaders, right? If we're always sort of seeking outside of ourselves or even giving our energy to other people, it also pushes us into a survival state as well. I mean, like literally, raise your hand if you've ever had an experience of feeling like you need an expert opinion before you make your own big decision or change something in your life or in your business, right? Seeking outside of yourself. It's really real. It's a real experience. Going back to that piece around survival state. So here's the thing about being in survival state. When we are in survival mode, we can't also be in performance mode. Our bodies will not let us. And so, of course, if we're in survival, we're going to defer outside of ourselves for opinions and support because we don't have the capacity or really probably even the desire to make our own choices in any given moment, right? Which, when I think of the wisdom of that statement, deferring outside of ourselves because we don't have the capacity, it all starts to make so much sense. So if we go back to when we were all living tribally, and of course, none of us remember that, but our DNA remembers it because our DNA was there, right? If we go back to that, you know, hundreds of millions of years ago, when we needed to defer to others to keep ourselves alive, right? We needed to defer to others to make decisions so that we could stay alive and stay connected to the tribe. It makes even more sense, right? And here's the thing about that DNA piece. It runs deep, right? It's hundreds of millions of years old, and it's wise, and it's adaptive. And we may not need that response these days here in 2023, but our bodies will still respond to outside stimulus in the same way. So why do we outsource our personal power and autonomy? Well, from an intersectional feminist point of view, it's because of the narratives we as women and further marginalized people have grown up hearing and really are almost forced to adhere to, right? The system of patriarchy and patriarchal constructs teach us pretty much from day one to defer to other people to answer for us. We often saw our grandmothers and our mothers and our aunties and any women that were older than us buying into these adages that wanting more for ourselves and having the balls to stand up and actually go after what we wanted was selfish, right? We received the messaging from media and now social media all the time. We're consuming all of this media that who we are as women and further marginalized folks is not enough. We're not thin enough. We're not confident enough. We're not smart enough. We're not rich enough. We're not straight enough. We're not white enough. And I say that in solidarity with my dear friends and folks in Black bodies and bodies of color. When we do step up to the proverbial podium, we can be inspiring, but not too inspiring, because then we're showing off. We can be bold, but not too bold, because then we're bossy. We can be empowered, but not too empowered, because then we're selfish. So no wonder we have a hard time claiming our own personal authority and holding on to it during challenging moments because of all of these messages, these inputs that are coming into our brains and our bodies. Now, I mentioned in an episode before, the way our nervous system works is it receives inputs from various ways, through our vision, through what's going on in our body, through what's happening around us. And then it interprets that information and then it spits out an output. And some of the outputs that our brain will create when all of this overwhelming information that I just mentioned is coming into our body is to hustle harder, right? To prove our worth. And this causes burnout. And I have an episode on burnout that you can check out. I'll link in the show notes as well. It shows up as freezing in a moment of needing to speak up, and that causes shame and frustration because why couldn't we advocate for ourselves? Why couldn't we advocate for others, right? It shows up as us putting other people's needs in front of ours, leaving no time for our own fulfillment and no time for rest. And of course, it has us not trusting our own gut and our own intuition and our body wisdom when something feels off, causing us to defer outwards and then wish we hadn't later on. All of these adaptive outputs are why I offer the work that I do in my one-to-one and in the Embodied Leader Incubator. And this is so that we can all navigate the inputs or the messages that we receive and create more soul-aligned outputs so that we can show up in the world the way we really want to. So you might ask, how do I claim and hold on to my personal power, Elise? Well, here are three, I'm going to tell you. Here are three ways that you can begin to explore your own autonomy as a woman or further marginalized person in business or leadership. And I have to say that this is actually really great and really supportive for you, even in the rest of your life. It doesn't just have to be in business and leadership. So the first thing I'd like to suggest is read up on how the patriarchy and systems of oppression are working against your best interest as a woman, non-binary, or transgender person. I'm a proponent of knowledge is power and would offer that the more we can understand the systems of power that keep our voices suppressed, the more we can hand those narratives back and maintain our inner authority. My favorite books on this subject are Patriarchy Stress Disorder by Valerie Rain, The Body Is Not an Apology by Sonia Renee Taylor, and If Women Rose Rooted by Sharon Blackie. Number two, regulate your nervous system. And I know I say this pretty much every episode, and it might feel exhausting to hear it. And it also might be kind of exhausting to feel like you're the one that's always doing the work. And I get it. I get it. And to the dear folks that are following along and listening along that are in Black and Indigenous bodies and bodies of color and queer bodies and differently able bodies, I could never know exactly just how exhausting this is for you, because I've never experienced what you experience under these systems of oppression on a daily basis, because these systems are set up to even further marginalize you. But I wanted to offer this nervous system regulation opportunity as a way for you to create that felt sense of safety in your body. And if it doesn't feel safe for you to do that work with me, a white practitioner, I have many suggestions of folks that are doing this work that might feel and offer a deeper sense of felt safety for you. So please reach out if that's you. And I just also wanted to add that it's none of our fault that we grew up in a culture and systems that suppress authentic expression. But if we want to be showing up in the world, sharing all of the goodness that's percolating in our lives and in our work, we have the opportunity to build resilience through nervous system regulation. And that comes through conscious choice. Number three, this one is one of my faves. Surround yourself with people who want to see you thrive. Now, I'm talking about friends and family members and mentors and coaches and community that insists on you claiming your own personal authority. Now, it may sound like I was kind of crapping all over, you know, experts, right? I'm not. There are experts. There are people in this world that have a lot of knowledge about a lot of things, and they can be very, very helpful to us. But that deep inner knowing of I got this, rooted in mentorship and coaching from somebody who insists that you know you've got this, is actually how we can show up in the world without feeling like we have to defer to other people. So, the doors to the Embodied Leader Incubator are officially open. We start the program in September, but anyone who signs up before then gets free group coaching with me. That is a win-win. We're doing that over the summer. There's one coaching call in July and one in August. So depending on when you listen to this, you could get in on both of those coaching calls if you like. They are bonus. You do not have to pay extra for those. The Incubator is a three-month group coaching and training program that helps you learn the language of your own nervous system in your life and in your work so that you can better understand yourself. And in turn, you can better understand the people that you're working with. So be a part of the big shifts that are happening in this industry, the industry of coaching and leadership. There's a link in the show notes with all of the details, and you can always book a discovery call with me, and the link is also in the show notes if you want to talk a little bit more about it. So how did today's episode land for you? I would love to hear. I'm always available, of course, at email at hello@elisebessler.com, on Instagram at Elise Bessler, on YouTube at The Embodied Leader, and of course on Apple and Spotify podcasts at The Embodied Leader. See you next time on The Embodied Leader.